John, we were talking about this before with these CRs to bevacizumab. I feel like people are not necessarily aware of. Any thoughts about who these people are? Do they have more CD30? I mean, any biologic explanation?
Not that we're aware of. Again, I think Craig's already highlighted that key point seems to be, time to relapse tends to predict a lot of how we're dealing with outcomes of subsequent therapy. And I wish that someone had a formula to cherry-pick who these people were, because it would be so useful in the clinic.
So we're going to close
On a side, so we just there may be a way to do this. So we've been toying around with metabolic tumor volume.
I was going to ask you about that.
And published this in Blood maybe 6 months or so ago. It turns out.
Well, can you explain what it is, though, metabolic tumor volume?
So it's a way, so you all do PET scans on your patients, and there's a way of gating around each active site, and then using, a fairly simple calculation, which you can buy, you can quantitate the total volume of disease metabolically as opposed to based upon CT imaging. The problem is that it tends to be different from study to study and from disease to disease. So in a uniform data set of relapsed and refractory Hodgkin lymphoma, we evaluated metabolic tumor volume on about 60 patients and found a cutoff of around 110. It doesn't matter what the number is, but we found a cutoff. And we found that patients who had a metabolic tumor volume of less than that, almost every single patient was cured. That's despite if they had an interim PET negative disease or interim PET positive disease. Didn't matter what we gave them, ICE, brentuximab, radiotherapy, with the transplant or not the transplant. But this cutoff of metabolic tumor volume showed a very high cure rate. On the flip side, when it was above this number, the curves were quite low. To take this one step further, I believe that every single national study looking at Hodgkin lymphoma should be evaluating metabolic tumor volume prospectively. And I think that that will happen in the new national studies. So it's a simple thing to do. You just have to buy the software. It can be calculated for you. You can come up with a number, and then you can prospectively look at it. It's not unique to lymphoma. There are some solid tumors that this is being looked at, but it is dramatic. And there's similar data, but not as robust in large cell lymphoma. So I think that that's the new kid on the block.
So, Craig,
sounds a little bit like MRD in a way.
Like, do you think
It's like
it's a
imaging
measure? Like, is it
MRD.
more this is just a good way to capture extent of disease, or do you think it's a biologic something? Like, it might be a surrogate for something else?
I can't answer that question yet. However, I have just because you have, let's think of a patient clinically that we're, this is a clinical conference that has widespread disease with splenic involvement, right? That has a metabolic tumor volume of 110, but you looked at it and you say, oh my God, this patient is probably going to do poorly. That patient does well. Your patient that you presented to us originally with a 10-centimeter mass in the neck who has stage one disease with metabolic tumor volume of 240, we now would know, at least in our data set, that we would be concerned about that patient even though they had localized involvement. So it's not stage dependent, which I find interesting. So more work to come, but I think that certainly Margaret, myself, a few other people believe that in addition to evaluating abnormalities on 9p and being do more sophisticated inflammatory milieu on the biopsy specimens, that we should be doing metabolic tumor volume prospectively in Hodgkin lymphoma patients, especially if we're going to be giving a checkpoint inhibitor, because notoriously we can't evaluate the PET response post-treatment, but maybe we can evaluate the PET response pre-treatment. We're using metabolic tumor volume. So we'll see. I find it just a fascinating area of research.